All right, well, welcome to our discussion of Israel and the nations. This question of the Israel and its relationship to the nations is, of course, a question of great interest. What is our relationship? But we have this chosen status. What does that mean? What is our role? Why do we need the Jewish people? Why not just be part of everybody else? What is the role of the Jewish people? So let's take a look at the sources. So Israel and nations, as you see from the map here, Israel, of course, is a very small nation surrounded by so many, Greece and Rome, not too far away, Cyprus, Turkey, Ottoman Empire ruled for many years, the Egyptians, a powerful force, the Iraqis and Iranians representing the Fertile Crescent, and the Babylonians, the Syrians, the Akkadians, so many cultures up there. Saudi Arabia, great, great financial power today. And moving to the east, you have Pakistan and India, very powerful nations as well. So, what is the role of Israel in among the nations? Okay, so let's take a look at all the verses. Of course, we always start with this week's parsha. You keep all the mitzvot, which I'm commanding you today. Generally, you should always consider the commandments as if they just got here today. That God will make you high above all the other nations, superior. Really? So we're supposed to be superior to the nations? What does that mean? The Ibn Ezra takes it sort of at its face value. There will never be a person. There are two texts of the Ibn Ezra, two versions. One is there'll never be a person like your people. I don't know what that means. Probably what it means. What it says is there'll never be a nation like your nation. And really, Mikamcha Israel, has there ever been a nation like the Jews? 2,000 years we left our home, we came back. 2,000 years we wandered and we didn't assimilate. 2,000 years we lived as minorities and somehow we survived. So it's amazing. And in modern times, all the contributions the Jews have made, Mikamcha Israel, we are certainly a very special kind of nation. But it doesn't stop there. So that's later in the parsha in 28. Earlier in 26, it says, that he made you superior, he made you high above, for in praise and in honor and in reputation, and to be a holy nation. So let's see, what do some of the commentators say about what is this all about? To make you above. So Ramaz Tofot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Gemara in Brachos that God has tefillin too. In our tefillin, it says we should worship God. If God, so to speak, does all the mitzvot like we do, so what's his tefillin going to say? That he should speak about God? So he's too modest for that. So no, in his tefillin, it says, Mikamcha Yisrael. Who are like the Jews? Asherecha Yisrael, praises God. Am no Shav Hashem, a nation saved by God. Asherecha Yisrael Mikamocha. Moshe says at the end of the Torah, happy is Israel. Who is like you? Am no Shav Hashem, a nation saved by God. And they were saved by the sword, by God himself. So this is interesting that God himself puts us above. Good. So far, it's unapologetic. The Jews rise above the nations. But it's not that simple. The Torah also says, Mash Yisrael mishabchim ba'alim Hashem hu lahem u'tiferet. Here we get a little more sophisticated. It's not that. Notice what it says. It says you will make you greater for praise in prayer. What do you mean? He's made us above the nation in praise and in honor. Praise of whom? Praise of ourselves? So the Torah says, no, when we praise God, that's our greatest glory. When we praise God. And that's what it says, that one day God will make a crown on the head of every tzaddik. What does that mean? That the crown which we praise God with will return to us. When you give honor to others, you in turn are honored. So then he says an interesting aside over here, which I thought I would include. But somebody who speaks idle chatter in the synagogue, with him, instead of putting him a crown of glory, he gets a crown of thorns all over his body. So in any event, we got to be careful about talking in shul. But But the main thing is that he's suggesting that our, you know what our praise is? The praise of the Jews is that we praise God. The Ralbag says that, what do you mean you're higher than the other nations? What, we're haughty? We say, oh, I'm Jewish, I'm great. He says, no. Laudia ki divrei Torah, this is Ralbag, medieval Provençal rabbi from Provence. Ki divrei Torah him letachlit ma'amuvuara shemekameh imu lalim bagoyim. The Torah is such a final goal, such a wonderful tachlit, such a purpose in life that will be praised for the Torah. And our name will be very great because the words of Torah are so straight, are so good, that it's one of the greatest philosophies that are possible. And therefore, that it alludes to the other verse we'll see later, that the Torah is the wisdom among the nations. When the nations say, wow, the Torah, that's really something. Look at this verse in Parshat Vayetchanan a little bit earlier in this book. Ushmartem v'atzitem, keep the Torah. Ki hi chochmatchem. You know what makes us praised by the nations? Not that we invented Google or something like that. No, that the Torah is your wisdom. People will say, wow, those Jews, you know, you keep the Torah and the mitzvahs. They don't get drunk as much as everybody else. They don't spend the night at the nightclub as much as everybody else. You know how it's superior? People will say, wow, it's a very wise nation because they have the Torah, makes them very wise. So it's interesting. Some have suggested in the 19th century, 20th century, that when the nations see that we're getting involved in their matters, in their wisdom, they say, wait a second, that's not your business. We take care of the secular wisdom. Your job is the Torah wisdom. The Jews should be a light to the nations. Now, this Sforno is very into this kind of idea. He says that this is related to the idea that we said we're going to be above the nations. It means we're going to be the Kohanim of the nations. As it says in Exodus 19, Parshat Yitro, Atem tzaliim lamelachet kohanim v'goy kadosh, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So it's not that we're above the nations, like we're going to be fancy people, but rather, Kohanim, we're going to serve the nations as priests to God. That's the relationship of the nations to Israel. The Rambam had a son, Rav Avram, and he's a very interesting character. He's not in the caliber of the Rambam, but he's very interesting. So he says, what does it mean, a kingdom of Kohanim? He says a Kohen is above the congregation, which he leads. And he's very honored by them. And this, similarly, the people, and he sets a model that the congregation follows in their footsteps. And he finds the right path. And that's what it means, that with keeping of the Torah, you will be leaders of the world in your relationship to the world, like the relationship of a Kohen to his flock. The world will follow in your ways. They will imitate your ways. And they will go in your ways. And that's what I heard from my father of blessed memory, the Rambam. That's if they keep the Torah, and because the Torah is the sign of wisdom among the nations. And he says this will come true in the end of days. The nations will come, as we'll see later, and they'll say, let's go to the mountain of God and show us your ways. And why does it say we'll just be Kohanim? Why does it say a kingdom of Kohanim? So it means we will be honored like kings. So that's what Rashi says. What does it mean? He says, I think it means this. You will be kings over the world and leaders, because and everyone will copy you. And if they won't copy you by their own will, then we'll have to sort of, you know, force them to do so. There's an idea that if someone in Israel didn't accept the seven laws of Noah, we would have to be very forceful with them, because in order to be a citizen of Israel, according to the idyllic Israel system, you'd have to accept God as God. Again, a Muslim could qualify. There's some definitions. Perhaps a Christian could qualify with certain modifications as well. Goy Kadosh. Hakdushan Emer. So this son of the Rambam continues. This holiness, means, what do I mean, a holy nation? Keep the Torah. And that's through the mitzvot. And Aaron has even more mitzvot, and that's the ultimate distinction. He says a lot of nations are among the Christians, among the Hindus, they still have a lot of people who do licentious things and niyuf, what do they call that? Adultery. He says, but now there are some nations. They'll say, what do you mean? The nations are not so bad. He says, no, those nations are copying us, like the Christians and the Muslims. So he says, you should be holy. He says, all the Jews have to be holy. It only works. We can only be models if we're all holy. That's when the Kedusha, that's when the model will work best, if we could all be models for this very important lesson for the nations. Okay, moving along, that's the son of the Rambam. Okay, the Shaddal is a rabbi in Italy, just about 150 years ago, and he says, because the Gentiles, they understand that their priests are closer to God than they are, so too the Jewish nation will be closer to God. In other words, don't think we're being haughty. A priest is not haughty, he's closer to God. So too the Jews are just closer to God, and therefore God is a little closer to them. And that's by keeping the mitzvot. It's not a big secret, it's not some mystical thing. By keeping his commandments, we are all closer to God. The Ramban also takes this thing out of this idea that we're this big, big fancy people. He says we're going to be a king of servants of God. Mamlechet Kohanim is sort of an oxymoron. It's a kingdom. Oh, kingdom, it sounds fancy. We're going to be kings. No, we're going to be a kingdom of servants. That's our job, is to be a kingdom of servants. But it's interesting to note, Rashi and the Bechor Shor, they're very nationalistic. They say, no, we're going to be a kingdom of officers and important people. Okay. The Tur is the son of the Rush, and a little bit of this sort of a combination of Sephardic Ashkenazic. He says, if we merited, we all would have been Kohanim Gedolim. Every Jew would be a high priest. And one day it'll come back to us, as it says in Isaiah 61, Atem Kohanim Hashem Tikare. You will all be known as the Kohanim of God. And therefore, you will enjoy the wealth of the nations. People will say, oh, you're the Kohen, right? People go to the rabbi and say, oh, the rabbi, you know, we need to give him something because he's such a nice rabbi. So too, nations will come and give us from their wealth because we're the Kohenim, not by any sort of force. Rav Samson Avraham Hirsch, it's interesting to note what he says, because he lived in the 19th century. 19th century, the Jews in Germany were trying to say, oh, well, we're not special. We want to be citizens of Germany. Thank you very much. We appreciate the citizenship. We're not special. But Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch was the head of Orthodoxy. He's an Orthodox rabbi. He has to follow the Torah. The Torah says, we're a kingdom of priests. So he says, well, so let's see what he says. He says, it's the job of every Jew to be a Kohen. So what does that mean? That all of our deeds should be like God, the way God wants them. And you should accept God as God. You should live by God. We have to spread the word of God and the servitude to him. And by what we say, we will be known as Kohanim. What does it mean to be a holy nation? The impression that the nation gives as a whole should be an impression of holiness. We should be a special nation among the nations. A nation that it doesn't just live for its own good. You see, he lived in the 19th century. Every country was saying, well, we're Germany, we're France, we're going to unite, and we're going to be a great country, and we're going to, right? It was an era of nationalism. He says, we're not just nationalists. We're not just trying to live. So go Israel, go, you know, USA, USA, right? We're not just nationalists. We are Leman Kinuna V'Tifar Tashem Malchut Hashem. Our goal is God's kingdom. That's our goal. This nation is not looking for power and things like that, right? Rather, we want God to be the ruler. That's what it means. We're a holy nation. So a little different than just what the Rashi seemed to say, that we're going to be important people. All right. Sometimes God blesses you that the Jews are important, or Israel is important. Certainly is an important nation today. But it's really ideally should be about God, not about us. So Samson Vral Hirsch, on the comment that the nations will say, what a wise nation we are. he says, look, there are a lot of wise nations, because Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch is a modern Orthodox rabbi. He knows that there are wonderful umniyot, wonderful artisans, you know, musicians. He lived in Germany. I'm sure there are wonderful concerts, opera, madaim, very sciences, which are just developing in the 1800s. That many cultures, we're not the only ones. But the culture and the science of Israel is the belief in God and building a life, personal and national, on the basis of, number one, recognizing God and our relationship. Second, number two, our relationship to our fellow. And this is the science and the culture of Torah. This is the science and the craft of truth and harmony in life. So he believes that our contribution is not necessarily, it's the culture, although certainly Jews in the last couple hundred years have certainly contributed to the culture, but that's not exclusively ours. There are other musicians, right? Mendelssohn was a great musician, but so were Felix Mendelssohn, but so was Bach, you know? But when it comes to the creation of a spiritual nation, that is our realm. You say, well, what about the Christian theologians and Muslim theologians? Yeah, they copied from us. We did a pretty good job, and Islam and Christianity are a reflection of us. So sometimes it's confusing. We say to ourselves, you know, what's so special about us? We have a nice religion. Christians have a nice religion. So there's nothing special. So what do you mean that we're a special nation? Said, no, we have to understand. We saw before that one of the rabbis said, don't be confused by that. That's only because there are many nations who have already copied us. And that would include the Muslims and the Christians. How do Buddhists fit into this? I don't know. That's for a different class. I'm not sure. Moving along. So that was Rav Hirsch. Then we need to recognize that the very beginnings of our nation, there God laid out to Abraham right away the relationship of the nations to Abraham's family. He says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. So then we find that, right? Spain kicked us out. And before you knew it, Spain was no longer an important player in the world. Germany kicked us out. They were destroyed. And they're rebuilding now. But they were destroyed for many years. And those who blessed us, like in America, one of the great countries, because they've blessed the Jews, God has blessed them as well. And all nations will be blessed because of you, through you. What does this mean? All families of the earth will be blessed in you. What does that mean? So Rashi says, well, I think that a person will say to his son, you should be like Avraham, right? Just like people say you should be like Ephraim and Manasseh, people say you should be like Abraham. So, or you should be like that Jewish person. So that's in general, what does it mean to sanctify God's name? If people say, why doesn't everyone, such a nice guy like Mark, then that means that Mark is doing a good job representing God and the Jewish people. However, the Ibn Ezra says, funny thing, he says, you know, some great wise guy, or you know what, supposedly wise scholar, said nivrichu is like, it comes from the word lavrich. Lavrich means to graft. That the nations of the world be grafted onto you. So he said, grafted? That's terrible. Because actually that's an image that the Christians use. That their church has been grafted into the Jewish people. So he says, we don't want to be grafted in. We don't believe in intermarriage. We want to be separate. So he doesn't like that. He says, who got us into this trouble? This tzara. He says, no, it's something else. It means that all the nations will be blessed because of us. So Rashi said that people, what does it mean you'll be blessed because that will be blessed through you? That people will say, may my son be like the Jews. May my son be like Abraham. Ibn Ezra says it means that all the nations will be blessed through us. But the Kitab VaKabbalah accepts the interpretation that Ibn Ezra didn't like, that will be grafted into the nations. What does that mean? Not all the nations. We won't be grafted into every Gentile. But there are some Gentiles that need to be grafted into us. What does that mean? He quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, that there were two grafts that God needed to graft into us. That's Ruth and Naamah. Ruth, we all know. Naamah was Rechavam's mother, Shlomo's wife. Naamah. So presumably she was also very nice. So when you have converts, it means that they get grafted into the nation. So we're not here just to be an exclusive, you know, race. We can graft in anybody. We can help others convert as well. So that may make some people feel better. Others may feel that that's still elitist. The Rambam in the Morne Avuchim comments about this. He says, look, I have no doubt that when Avraham disagreed with everybody, surely they cursed him. They blasphemed against him. They made fun of him. And since he suffered so much for God, and he preferred the truth over his honor, therefore it was said to him that that God will bless those who bless you, will curse those who curse you, because people were cursing him, and everyone will be blessed through you. What does that mean? In the end, it's what we see today, that most of the people who live in the world agree to his ideas and to be blessed by his memory so much that a lot of people claim to be children of Abraham who aren't even children of Abraham. Here he may be alluding to all Muslims. All Muslims claim to be, you know, children of Ishmael and Abraham. And he says, look, I don't know about that. I'm not so sure about that. But anyway, it's a good thing. If everybody wants to be a child of Abraham, terrific. There's no one who disagrees, no one who doesn't recognize the greatness of Abraham. So surely Abraham has won. He's gotten this blessing from God that people want to be like Abraham and they even want to be his children. Good. There are other images. So far we've had the image of, let's see, what have we had so far? Let's take a look. We had the idea that we're supposed to be above the nations. We said we didn't know what that means. That was in our parsha. Then he said, well, maybe it's above because our praise of God, that's what places us above the nations. The Ralbach says the Torah that puts you above the nations, which turned us our attention to a verse earlier in Deuteronomy that says it's, you know what makes us above? The Torah. The Torah makes us look good. And the Svornos said that it's you're above the nations because we're Kohanim to the nations. And the Rambam's son, that he explained that the Kohen very often has a influence on his flock. And that's what it means to be a Kohen. And the holiness that we exemplify is that's what it means to be special, to be above, to not be licentious and sinful. Or the Shaddal says it means to be closer to God, as people understand, just like people understand that their priest is closer to God than they are, so are we, and God protects us more. Or the idea that we're above the other nations, we serve God. We're a kingdom of servants of God. But Rabbi Yosef B'chor Shor and Rashi take it the simple sense that we're going to be important. God will bless us to be important. The Torah says one day, it says in Isaiah 61, that we will be Kohanim of God. And then we said that the relationship of God and the Jewish people is the Jewish people and the nations is that the nations will be blessed through us. Either they will use us as an example to bless their children, or they will get a blessing through us. The Talmud says the nations of the world knew how much they're blessed by the Jews. They would all come running to us and give us gifts. Because the truth is, in the Beit HaMikdash, we pray not only for ourselves, but also for all the nations of the world. And it's only through when God blesses us, he blesses everyone else too. It rains for the Jews, it rains for the world. So if the nations knew that, it would come and bless us. That's another relationship that we have as well. Some say it's a grafting, that nations can be grafted into us when they convert to us. The Rambam says that, in fact, Abraham was blessed. Most of the world agrees the ideas of Abraham, and that's a great blessing. But now let's turn to Isaiah and see what image he has, a vision of future of the ultimate world of the end of days of how we would relate to the nations of the world. So number one, Atem Edai, Num Hashem. You are my witnesses. Rashi says in that particular context, he's really talking about the idea that God is one and there's no body because God opened the heavens for us at Mount Sinai. We didn't see anybody else other than God. We've been informed by our forefathers of the oneness of, and greatness of God. But some have taken this as a verse. We are the witnesses to God's greatness. Another expression might be referring to Mashiach, but Mashiach is Jewish too, so we can include this as well. I made him a prince and commander of peoples and a leader or I would translate a witness to the nations of the world. However, another image that's more famous is not just Atem Eda, you are my witnesses, but also you are the light to the nations. Ani Hashem kraticha b'tzedek v'achazek b'yadecha. I called you in righteousness and I supported you. That's Archa, I guarded you. That's Ancha l'brit am. I made you a covenant of people. Le'or goyim, a light to the nations. Well, in what sense? The verse goes on. Livkoach enayim yivrot, to open the eyes of people to see God. Elotzi masger asir, to do righteousness and take people out of jail, out of darkness, and bring them to the light of God. So what is our role as a light to the nations? To bring them out of the darkness. The Radak says, what does it mean, a light unto the nations? He says, we're a covenant of nations. Because of us, the whole world exists. And we're a light unto the nations, as it says earlier in Isaiah, and we'll see in a moment, that the nations will walk to our light. And what's the light? Torah, which will come from Zion. And Israel will keep the whole world going in two senses. Number one, the peace in the world will come through us, as we'll see in a moment, right? Diber shalom lagoyim, God will bring, the Mashiach will speak peace to the nations. And also, and he will, you know, he will rebuke the nations and they'll stop fighting. They'll beat their plowsheds, their swords into plowshares. And number two, because of Israel, the nations will keep the seven laws of Noah, the basic laws of morality. They will go in the good way. And that's what it says, that the nations are going to turn to Israel and say, we want to go in the path of the Torah. In Isaiah 60, verse 3, the Radak, yeah, right. He referred us to Isaiah 2, the beginning of Isaiah, and it says there, in the end of days, the mountain of God will stand above every place else in the whole world, and will be the most important place, and all the nations will flock to us, and many nations will say, let's go up to the mountain of God, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, the ways of the Torah. We want to go in his paths, because from Zion will go forth Torah, and the word of God from Jerusalem. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah, for Hashem Yerushalayim. That's the vision we read every Shabbat. So in what sense are we above the nations? That the nations will come to us to find out the Torah. There's a verse in Zechariah that 10 Gentiles will grab the coat of one Jew and say, take me to Jerusalem. I want to learn your ways. And what will the Mashiach do? He will judge among the nations, he'll rebuke them and stop the wars, and there shall no war no more. Finally, we have another image of that we started with at the beginning, that the greatness of the Jew is in praising God. When God saves the Jews, we don't do anything. Let's say we were really bad, but God says, all right, let me save you anyway. So he saves the Jews, and everybody says, wow, God is great. Many, many Christians, many people today say, wow, God saved the Jews. He brought them out of exile. They came to the land of Israel. It doesn't matter whether the Jews are the exemplary nation in the land of Israel or not. Right? I think they're doing pretty good, but I don't know if we're the most exemplary of any nation in the world. Maybe, maybe not. But just the fact that we exist is a witness to God. And people say, wow, God is great. Look what God did for the Jewish people. That itself brings greatness to God. When we say Kaddish, we base it on these two words. It's based on these two words. Every day we're hoping and praying that the name of God will be great. Everybody will say, wow, God is great. God leads the Jewish nation. God helps the Jews. God saves the Jews. So that's my talk about our relationship to the Gentiles. Our relationship is one of service, responsibility, modeling, role modeling, bringing blessing to everyone else, being close to God and helping people get closer to God through us by following our example and by telling their children, be like that Jew, be like the Jewish community, be like Israel, be like this nation. And this is what it means to that there's Baruch Hu B'char Zaracha Kol Goyei Haaretz, that nations will be blessed through us and because of us. This is what it means when it says that we are an Eid Lumim, we are witnesses of God's Torah to the rest of the world. This is what it means when it says we're Or Goyim, we're a light unto the nations, a light to bring them Torah, the lifestyle of Torah, the values of Torah in terms of peace and in terms of all the values of the Torah that the nations will be anxious to hear. And as we said, the nations have already done that to some degree. Many nations, most nations accept the, they call it Judeo-Christian values, values that they find in the Bible, of the Hebrew scriptures, and they've added their own scriptures. But a lot of the base of Western morality and morality in general based on the values of the Torah. So we've started the process. And through Israel today, people are amazed at the story of the Jewish people, and the name of God is made great by the story of the Jewish people. But let's hope we can fulfill our full mission and be a true light to the nations.